and get started. Thank you for attending the Indiana Department of Revenue's annual public hearing. The hearing, as required under Indiana Code, is for the purpose of providing taxpayers the opportunity to make recommendations to the department on the administration of the state's tax laws. The hearing is not a news conference or media opportunity, nor is it a forum to debate Indiana tax laws. Those are established by the General Assembly. This is an opportunity for the public to suggest improvements in tax services and processing. We are always looking to improve our services to the taxpayer, and we are very interested in hearing your ideas and suggestions. When you wish to make a statement, please identify yourself by name and simply address the commissioner. You're welcome to come up to the podium so that we can all hear you. At this time, it is my pleasure to introduce the commissioner of the Indiana Department of Revenue, Andrew Kosak.
Thanks, Amanda, and thanks everyone for being here. Certainly a pleasure to be with you today. I think our primary measure of success is whether there's more people out there or up here, so we get that metric, and glad you all took the time to be with us. We at the department always appreciate opportunities to continue to develop our partnerships with the practitioner community and taxpayers generally, so certainly happy to have you here this morning. I continue to be impressed with the quality and dedication of my colleagues at the department and their focus on customer service as well. So I'm happy that several of my colleagues are here this morning to join as well. We continue to dedicate ourselves to that spirit of service and intend to improve upon that record in months and years ahead. We just completed another efficient individual income tax season. And I've worked on a number of other exciting projects over the past year or so. So I'd like to recap a few of those with you if I could. First of all, we expect to achieve 85% e-filing this year for individual tax returns. That's consistent with last year's numbers and certainly significantly up from the 45% or so number in 2005. The department achieved a significant increase in our ability to take telephone calls this year with a minimal hold period as well. Throughout the tax season, we took more than 120,000 phone calls pertaining to individual income taxes and the ID protection program. We answered 90.8% of individual income tax calls the first time compared to 75.4% last tax season. We answered 92.7% of ID confirmation quiz calls the first time compared to 81.4% last tax season as well, so significant improvement on both those measures. As many of you know, we established the ID protection program in 2014 to protect user taxpayers from identity theft and also protect the state from issuing fraudulent refunds and losing that revenue. Since that program's inception, it has identified and stopped more than $100 million in attempted ID theft and tax return fraud. So far this year, the program has helped more than 3,600 taxpayers discover their identities were stolen and used to file fraudulent Indiana tax returns. Not good news to deliver, but at least we can help them identify that that is an issue for them and help them work through it. The amount of fraud stopped and identified continues to evolve day by day, but we're currently at about $4.8 million for 2016 has been stopped so far this year. But as we all know, the success of that program is not only in stopping the active fraud, but in deterring it from occurring in the first place. Last year as well, we conducted Tax Amnesty 2015. As many of you know, the program allowed business and individual taxpayers to pay past due taxes from any period prior to 2013, free of penalty, interest, and collection fees. As of June 14th, more than 91,000 taxpayers have participated in the program, and the department's collected more than $189 million in cash payments. Final installments for tax 2015 were due June 15th, and so we're continuing to sort of tally the results and clean that data, and a final report will be issued soon and presented to the legislature. The program has helped thousands of Hoosier taxpayers become compliant and move forward in good standing with the department. We're glad to partner with them. And then the revenue collected from the program has gone to fund several important initiatives, including the IEDC's Regional Cities Initiative and the Department of Transportation's Hoosier State Rail, as well as a number of other programs added during the past legislative session. There was the Next Generation Hoosier Educator Scholarship for Hoosier, for future Indiana teachers, among other programs. In 2012, at the recommendation of Deloitte & Touche, who was our outside partner at that time, the department was advised to create kind of a long-term vision. One of the recommendations that Deloitte gave us was to conduct a study of the department's IT systems and develop a plan to get to move towards an integrated tax system. So that study is now, was authorized legislatively, is now underway. The goal of it is to help the department develop that long-term vision from a process standpoint, also along with our more of an integrated tax system and processes and systems that go along with that. And also flesh out our vision as it pertains to customer service, compliance, operations, finance, technology, and even organizational structure and some of our policies. So the department is currently in the midst of that, and we're in our third of four phases. Some more information will be released as we continue to progress on that. Also want to make you aware of NBIS, which is a new system that will ultimately replace the Department of Revenue's current business registration system, BT1, and that's scheduled to launch in August. NBIS will allow users to easily and efficiently register businesses with the Secretary of State, the Department of Revenue, and the Department of Workforce Development all at one time. So it will serve as that single point of contact for businesses when they're interacting with the state. The Secretary of State's portion of NBIS launched in April and already allows businesses to register with that office, file key reports and request certain documents. So more information will be announced as we approach that next launch date in August. We continue to successfully transition businesses to electronic filing. Approximately 95% of our trust taxes are now filed and paid electronically. The IT-20S and IT-65 are both available electronically now. And as of June 15th, more than 41,000 IT-20S forms have been e-filed and 17,000 IT-65 forms have been e-filed, which is approximately 42% of all the corporate forms. And then overall, we are processing more than $18 billion annually now. So as we look forward, this leadership team has four kind of primary goals we share those with you. First, we're going to continue to strengthen our accuracy and reliability of our processing systems. We continue to improve our technology environment, have a number of upgrades already in process right now. The ITS study, which I mentioned before, is certainly a key component of that and a key project that will help us make improvements in the near term and the long term as well. Secondly, we will continue to improve the tax filing and the regulatory experiences for all taxpayers, but with a particular focus on small businesses and individual taxpayers. We successfully upgraded the in-tax system last summer, and we will continue to add tax types to that system in the future. Again, we'll launch NBIS coming up in August, as I mentioned a few minutes ago. And then thirdly, we're going to continue to improve voluntary taxpayer compliance by really partnering with taxpayers in a proactive manner. We have a number of programs focused on ensuring that your taxpayers have a level playing field from a compliance standpoint, and that people and businesses pay what they owe and nothing more. And then finally, we're going to concentrate on investing in our people for success, both in their current roles at the department and in future roles that we hope they will progress to. And speaking of people, at this point, I'd like to introduce some of my colleagues who are up here with me, and then I'd like to invite and welcome your input today. So if I could ask my colleagues to introduce themselves. Valerie.
Valerie, I'm CFO.
Patrick Price, Deputy Commissioner for Policy and Compliance.
Kevin Gulley, CIO.
Lauren Bates, the Taxpayer Advocate's Office.
Bob Dimmer, Deputy Commissioner for Tax Administration.
Amanda Stanley, Director of Public Relations.
Ron Broughton, Deputy Commissioner of Enforcement over the audit process. Milton Cuevas, Deputy Commissioner of Collections.
Jim Poe, Deputy Commissioner of Returns Processing and Special Taxes.
Emily Wine, Director of Budget Management Office.
Rasheed Agarwal, General Counsel.
Great. This is the sort of brain trust up here, so we look forward to hearing your comments and questions.
So if you have any questions or comments, please feel free to come up to Cody.
I'll be first.
No one rush at once.
Good to see you all today. Good morning, Commissioner and others. Thank you for the opportunity to be here with you today. I know many of you, but my name is Kyle Zimmerman. I'm a CPA and state tax partner with BGBC Partners here in Indianapolis, Indiana. We are a local eight-person CPA firm and also a member of the BDO Alliance, which gives us a national presence and access to international resources. I serve as the chair for the Indiana CPA Society's Tax Resource Advisory Council. I appreciate the opportunity to meet with you today and all the great things you outlined there, Commissioner. We're great to hear. On behalf of our nearly 8,000 members and the clients and employers we serve, thank you for the work all of you do every day in service to the citizens of Indiana. It's remarkable. Commissioner, as you approach your administration's one-year anniversary, congratulations on that. I'm sure it's gone quick, but it's been a good year. And I trust you know that we appreciate what has been accomplished in that short amount of time, especially on items we've worked together on. Now, we're especially appreciative of your willingness to meet regularly with our TRAC members to work on solutions on the issues of every day. Those exchanges help head off problems and often result in fixing even relatively minor issues that impact our professionals and taxpayers of Indiana. It is clear that you are committed to stakeholders and to continuing our strong working relationship that was built by your predecessors and mine. I offer a special thank you to you and your team for that commitment. As evidenced by the smooth administrative transition, we recognize the staff at DOR are hardworking, knowledgeable, and above all, interested in supporting the principles of sound tax policy and customer service. As an increasing number of key baby boomer department staff continue to retire, we support the efforts to pass on the expertise and years of institutional knowledge to those rising in the ranks. A focus on continued communication and outreach to tax professionals and taxpayers will help support these efforts. The district office visits you are conducting across the state offer taxpayers and practitioners the opportunity to address any concerns face-to-face, and we certainly support that initiative and appreciate it. When we met with you and your team last month, we covered a number of issues, many of which have been successfully resolved. We believe the remaining issues are being addressed to the best of the department's ability, given some technological and legal limitations which are beyond all of our control. We are strong advocates for the development of the integrated tax system that you mentioned, and like you, probably wish it was ready tomorrow. But we know that's not realistic. Thank you for including our end user input in that process. We really appreciate that coordinated effort. Among the big projects on your to-do list when you took over that you mentioned were the 2015 tax amnesty and the identity protection program. To echo some of the comments you made there, both programs affect every taxpayer in Indiana. Despite the database and third-party vendor issues, which your team worked through as quickly as possible, the tax amnesty program contributed over $180 million to the state's coffers, funding regional cities, education, health, roads and transportation initiatives around the state. Likewise, enhanced security features of the identity protection program continue to deter and stop tax-related fraud and ID theft that cost every Hoosier taxpayer dollars and resources. So congratulations on both of those. Two key issues our members were especially pleased to see implemented were the changes to non-resident withholding processes and composite returns. Simplifying these processes reduces confusion and is business and taxpayer friendly. So we really appreciate that. Expanded online filing to include IT-20S and IT-65 filings over the last 2 years has admittedly been challenging. However, we recognize the considerable resources DOR put towards those efforts and appreciate your commitment to improvements the next tax season. Looking forward, we're committed to working with the department's team on the nine following items, many of which we have discussed. A clear timeline for registration and certification for vendor software, for online filing for IT-20S and IT-65, so that they are available closer to the opening of tax season. Guidance regarding application of the retroactive provisions of SEA 309 related to time and materials. Guidance related to the Supreme Court decision of Maryland versus Wynn. Draft regulations to clarify residency issues for the non-filer program. Support for expansion of in-tax capabilities. A better understanding of R&D credits and related compliance issues that affect our professionals. A reasonable approach to collections, especially related to third-party collections agencies and sheriff offices, which I know we've been in touch with Milton with and certainly appreciate that effort. Resolution of remaining best information available tax notice issues. And finally, support for the integrated tax system to be implemented as soon as possible, including electronic payment of estimates and taxes. Excuse me. Ability to show estimated payments by year and payment history, improved processing of amended returns, and 24/7, 365 availability. So everybody's looking forward to that, right? You know, in summary, Commissioner, thank you and your dedicated staff for your service to the taxpayers of Indiana and to your commitment to provide a business-friendly environment in the state of Indiana. All of you should be recognized for that, and we appreciate it. Again, thank you for your time today and all of the collaboration. We know your time is valuable and certainly appreciate it. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Really appreciate it. And, can't tell you how much your partnership means to us. You made us better than any colleagues as well. So thank you. So thank you for all the time you've done. We know it's not the whole time.
Still trying to figure that out.
We have other comments, questions?
Hello, good morning. My name is Haiti Aguirre, and overall, my dad owns a small business. It's called California Auto Sales, and I had a question for you guys on how to go about taxes on cars that, you know, people, they end up making only the down payment. So I was wondering if we could do, like, a write-off on that tax, the taxes, because we end up, those end up coming out of pocket from us instead of the customer because they don't end up paying, you know. So how does that go about, or can we do a write-off on the taxes?
So you remit the sales tax to the state based on the full price of the car when you only get paid the down payment for the car?
Yeah, so we end up paying, you know, the taxes off, and the customer, you know, like, either the car gets repoed or they don't come back and pay at all. So my question to you is, like, could we do a write-off on that? Because overall, we end up paying those taxes out of pocket.
I'm going to defer because if I answer, I think I know the answer, but I could screw it up. I'm going to put Chris or Betsy or Mandy on the spot. Chris, do you feel comfortable?
I'll take a shot at it. So I don't know report your income taxes. If you're on accrual basis for income tax, then whatever you would deduct on your income tax return for a bad debt write-off, then you'd be allowed to take that deduction on your sales tax return. So that is how you would recover. Where you run into a problem, if your cash basis for income tax, then that deduction is not available. Because the deduction for bad debt is directly tied to your federal income tax return for the bad debt write-off set. Okay. So in a nutshell,
we have your contact information. Since this is a very specific question, mm-hmm. We can reach out to you after this meeting and work with you to make sure that you're filing your investment.
Okay, great. Yeah, I'll go ahead and pass you a card. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We've got the A team of auditors right back
there. We'll get you in touch with the right people. If we have no other questions or comments today, we will wrap up. Thank you guys for coming. As always, if you have questions after this, please feel free to reach out to us via email, phone, Facebook, Twitter.
However you feel comfortable reaching out to us. Thank you for coming.